Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and the Word. I am Dana Davin, and I'm so excited that you have joined me this morning. We're going to power up together as we have embarked upon this new year. We are talking about new. Behold, look, see. He makes all things new in our lives. And so we're going to open this morning with a word of prayer. Lord, we just lift up this time to you. Father, I thank you that you are the God that never changes, but you are also the God of the new, and you are wanting to do a new thing in us and through us. And so today we just lift our hearts and our minds up to you, and we thank you, and we praise you for all that you are, all that you have been to us, and all that you are going to do in the new. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And if you just joined us, if you would hit *6 and mute your phone out, that way if there's any background noise, we will not be able to hear it on the recording. So we've been talking this last week, Monday and Wednesday, this week that we're in now, as it is now Friday, about the new. And Isaiah 43:18 through 19 says, Tina, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And then he says, see, look, or if you're in a King James version, it's the word behold, I am doing a new thing. And he says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not recognize it? I am making a way in the desert. I am making streams in the wasteland or in the wilderness. So sometimes in life we feel like we're in a wasteland or in a wilderness. I believe we have wilderness situations in our lives that come at certain times, and God promises that he will make a way in those times in our lives when it feels like we are in the wilderness or in the wasteland. And if you're on the call today and you've got some wilderness things going on in your life, then I hope that this is an encouragement to you today. I love the fact that God talks about the new all throughout the Bible. And we know that he never changes. The Word of God says, I, the Lord God, change not. But he wants us to change and to be changed and to continually grow and become more and more like him. So in the New English Bible, we're going to go back and reread what it says in Psalm 43:18-19. Do not brood over your past history. Do not brood over the mistakes of years gone by. I, the Lord God, am doing a new thing in your life. Can't you see it? Can't you perceive it? Don't you know it? It's like a bud springing from the ground. It's like a small crocus poking its head through the dirt. I'm doing a new thing in your life. Don't you see it? Don't brood over past history or over things gone by. And I love the New English Translation, because how many times in our lives do we miss out on the new and the fresh and the exciting because we beat ourselves up over the past, over the prayers that we feel like didn't get answered, over the mistakes that we've made, over wrong choices that led us down a wrong path. But he promises that he will do a new work in us, and when we simply trust him and trust on the name of Jesus, we become new creatures. Now, I wish it was instantaneous. I mean, he says, I will throw your sins as far as the east is from the west. So we know as soon as we ask for forgiveness, accept Christ, ask for forgiveness, he forgets our sins. But how hard is it for us to forget? That's the real key. And someone said one time, I'll never forget it, they said, when you've asked for forgiveness and you go and you go to God and you say, God, you know what, I'm confessing my sin before you, what I've done wrong, and I'm asking you to forgive me, he forgives instantly. But how many times do we bring it back up and bring it back up and brood over it, as it says in the New English? We brood over it. We think about it. And we allow it to literally identify us in our own heart and mind. See, many times we blame other people for the way we're treated, but a lot of times we treat ourselves worse than anyone else could ever treat us because we speak ill of ourselves, we beat ourselves up till we're black and blue, and God says, I forgave it the minute you asked. I threw it away. Why do you keep bringing it back up? And someone once said, it's like nailing Christ to the cross afresh every time we bring up those things that we have been forgiven from. So he says in Isaiah 42:9, behold, or look, the former things have come to pass. Okay, all that has already come to pass. It's over. And new things I now declare. And he says here, I declare them before they happen. So he is literally, I believe, speaking to our hearts, telling us of new things, but many times we don't see it, we don't perceive it, and we don't hear it because we're so bogged down, still listening to the voices in our head talking about our past. Then it says, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And then he says, sing unto the Lord a new song. So I think we have to sing unto the Lord a new song and thank him for what he's brought us through and thank him for where he's taking us. Isaiah 41, 14 through 15 says, fear not. And there are many, many, many references to fear not in the Bible. So I've heard it said there are 365 references to fear not, one for every day of the year, and I don't know that that's actually true. I'm not sure it is, but I know that there are so many references to the word fear not. He says, I will help you. Behold, which means look, I will make you to be a new sharp threshing instrument that has teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and shall make the hills like chaff. So I wanted to know what a threshing instrument was because I'm thinking, okay, God, you're saying you're going to make me a sharp new threshing instrument. So I want to know, number one, how many of you want to be sharp? Man, I'd like to be sharp. I'd like for my mind to be sharp. I'd like to think like a sharp person. You know, we'd love to talk about, you know, so-and-so, man, he's really sharp or she's really sharp. He says he's going to make us to be a new sharp threshing instrument that has teeth and that we're going to thresh the mountains and beat them small. Now, we all have mountains in our life. And the mountains are those obstacles that we face, those situations that seem like they're not moving. We've prayed. We've even maybe tried different things to get them to move, and nothing is happening. I've got some of those in my life right now, mountains that I'm trying to move to make some new things happen. But God says in this passage that he will make us into a new sharp threshing instrument that has teeth. And then when he makes us, then we shall thresh the mountains. And the word thresh simply means to beat down, to make as nothing. And so he's simply saying sometimes we have to wait on him to help us make those changes in our lives. It doesn't mean we have an excuse to do nothing. I think that's a cop-out when people say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just going to wait till God does something. Well, I'm going to tell you, I heard Joyce Meyer say recently, you know, if you're asking God, where do you want me to go, what do you want me to do, and you're going nowhere and doing nothing, you know, what are your chances? So I'd rather get out there, maybe make some mistakes, maybe fall on my face a few times to know that I'm out there passionate about what God's asking me to do than to do nothing at all. So he says he's going to make us into this. The other thing that a threshing instrument does, I thought this was interesting, is it separates the junk from the good stuff you want to keep. And I'm going to say that again. I love this. A threshing instrument separates the chaff from the wheat. It separates the husk of the corn from the corn kernels itself. It separates the junk that needs to be removed out of us to leave what is pure, what is powerful, what is positive, and what is going to make an impact on the world around us. And so when I think about this scripture, I realize that God is saying to me, if you'll yield to me, quit trying to do everything your own way, quit trying to do it in your own strength, I'm going to make you into this new instrument. And all this junk, you're going to be able to separate the junk. It's going to blow away in the wind because that's what happens when a threshing machine works. It literally beats this thing to a bloody pulp until all the junk flies away and is blown away, and all that is left is the good that is going to be profitable and that is going to be important in our lives. So I get excited about that when I think about what God is doing. So we talked the other day about the Greek word for new being K-A-I-N-O-S, kainos, meaning new in character. And what I love about this, and I wanted to say this again because some of you weren't on the call when I said it the other day, It doesn't mean when it says God is doing a new thing or he's going to make us new creatures, it doesn't mean the same word is new as when he created the earth, because he created the earth out of nothing. But he's going to take us in the state that we are currently in our state of imperfection, and he's going to take our old, worn-out, broken, dirty, flawed character with cracks, and he's going to restore it. That's what that word new means in these scriptures that I've been reading. It means that he takes the mess of our life and he makes us new in the midst of the mess. I love that. Have you ever seen a piece of broken down furniture? Maybe someone had discarded it, taken it to Goodwill, or just given it away. An old desk, perhaps, an old credenza. And then someone lovingly took the time to strip away the layers of paint and all the different attempts that someone made at creating something new out of something old. And when that restorer comes in and restores that piece of furniture, they literally strip it down bare to its bare beginnings and begin to restore it, to polish it, to shine it. They chisel away the old to bring out the beauty, the original beauty. And I believe that God does that in our lives. And that's what this word new means. He is stripping away the layers of junk that have accumulated on us all of these years. You know, I was at the ocean a lot when I was a kid. My father, we didn't ever have a lot of money, but Daddy always took 2 weeks in the summer, and we'd jump in the car, and we would drive somewhere, and we would camp. And I remember going to Florida several years and camping near the water. And I remember one year I was standing at the edge of a tributary that was actually fed from the ocean. And I looked down, and there was this giant conch shell. It was really, really big, and I got so excited, and I reached down into the water, and I pulled this conch shell out. And it had barnacles all over it. It was covered, encrusted with brown and black, and it really wasn't very pretty. But I was just so excited, being a girl from Tennessee who had rarely seen the ocean or seashells, I was so excited to find this giant seashell. So my father let me keep it. And I remember there was a giant conch in it, and it was kind of nasty. We boiled the conch out, and Dad took that shell. And my father literally chiseled away those barnacles and that black debris. And I remember him taking a brush when we got home. And after he had chiseled away all the rough barnacles, he took a brush, a soft brush, and began to polish that shell. Do you know we still have that shell in our family? And it's absolutely beautiful. It's pink and white and looks like pearl. And when I was thinking this morning about God and how he restores us, it took me back to watching my father, who I don't know that my father cared about that shell, but I know my daddy knew I cared about it. And he took his little chisel and his brush, and he spent hours polishing that big conch shell for me so that it would be something beautiful and something I could treasure. And I picture this morning our Heavenly Father chiseling away the junk, chiseling away the things that cause us anxiety, chiseling away the things that cause us to be tempted to be depressed. I really picture our Heavenly Father with that brush, polishing and brushing away the junk and the black stuff and the ick that can sometimes find its way into our heart. And I see him polishing us so that we become something of great value and great worth that can make a difference in the world. In Leviticus 26:10, God says, clear out the old to make room for the new. Sometimes we have to let go of some things. Sometimes we have to put things in perspective. And sometimes we just simply have to release certain situations into the hand of a loving God, knowing that all things do work together for good for those who are in Christ Jesus. Behold, behold is the key word here. He says, behold, I make all things new. Look at me. Don't look at your circumstances. look at my face. Look at what I've already done for you. Look at how much I love you. Look at who you have become in me so far. Hey, compared to the old Dana, I like the newer Dana much better, although I absolutely know that the best is yet to come. But God says to us to look. He wants us to see it. He wants us to perceive it. He wants us to see him at work in our lives. So my challenge for you today, as we go into this weekend, is to forget the former things. But quit dwelling on the past. Begin to thank God for the new thing he's doing in your life and ask him to reveal to you the new and to show you what he wants you to do in this new season of your life and in this new year. I do know that he is faithful, but I also know this about our God. God is rarely early. So many times we have to wait. But the word says in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. So if you feel today like you're waiting on him for something, if you feel like you've been asking and looking and seeking and you haven't gotten clear direction or a clear answer, he simply says, wait upon me. I will renew your strength like the eagles. And behold, look, look and see the new things that I'm doing all around you. Father, we just thank you so much for this time together. God, we thank you for the new things that you're doing in our lives. I pray today, God, that we would see you in the new, that we would see the new, that we would be able to release the junk from the past that tends to want to hold us in bondage. I thank you, God, that you are our restorer, that you strip away the junk in our lives to reveal your glory in and through us. And so I just thank you, Father, today. I thank you for every person listening to the sound of my voice. Bless them today, Father God. Reveal something unique and special for them today, God. And I just thank you that you've given us this opportunity to be together and to praise you and to focus in on you this morning as we power up in your strength. And in your name we pray, amen. So, guys, it's going to be an awesome weekend. I'm flying out to Atlanta. In fact, I'm pulling out of here in 10 minutes, and I'm very excited to go and see what is new in the business that God gave me 28 years ago. So I love you guys. Thanks for dialing in. 10 on Monday, we'll be back together at 8 a.m. for Coffee in the Word. Don't miss it. And if you're not my friend on Facebook, friend me so you can keep up with all the updates and with what's going on. And be sure to mark April the 20th. It's a Saturday. You don't want to miss the Power of New conference that is coming to New Life Assembly in Sherwood, Arkansas. Love you guys. God bless you and have a great weekend.